This is Radio Boston. I'm Steve Brown, in for Tiziana Deering. And we start with the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act into law, which, despite its name, is actually being called a potential turning point in how we tackle climate change. Here's Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey on the floor of the Senate earlier this month, urging his fellow Democrats to approve the measure.
Every night on every TV station, the lead stories are floods and fires and every other imaginable consequence of climate change. And it is time. The moment has arrived. And the United States Senate, with only Democratic support, is ready to take the action that the younger generation in our country has been waiting for.
President Biden signed the IRA yesterday, but ultimately the compromise has been met with mixed reactions. Here to talk more about that and some other major news this week is Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. He represents the 6th District. Congressman Moulton, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, let's start with the Inflation Reduction Act, which President Biden signed into law yesterday. Many, including your colleague, Senator Ed Markey, has celebrated its passage. He called it, quote, a historic piece of legislation. It is the funding we need for the health of the planet and the funding we need for the health of families. This bill is going to move us from a dirty economy to a clean economy. Do you share his optimism, Congressman? And is this going to make that big an impact?
I think it's an incredibly important first step. And the reality is that we've failed as the United States Congress, as the United States government, to address climate change for 20 or 30 years now. So this isn't going to solve every issue. There are a lot of things we still need to do. I would have liked to see a lot of money for high-speed rail, for example, the most carbon-friendly type of transportation in the world today. And it didn't have that in the bill. I'm not saying it's a perfect bill, but it's a huge step forward, especially given our reluctance to take any steps in the past.
Mm-hmm. Any concerns that it'll drive up energy costs, gas prices, and so on?
No, actually, I think it'll be quite the opposite. If Americans have more options, if there's more competition, if we have green energy sources as a viable option to compete with gas and oil, then we're going to be much better off. And most importantly, we're not going to be beholden to foreign dictators setting the price of oil. The oil price skyrocketed when this crazy man, Vladimir Putin, invaded Ukraine. We can't be beholden to crazy guys like Vladimir Putin. We need to set our own price for energy, and we're going to do that by having more options for the American consumer.
Yeah. You said you'd like to see a little bit more than what is in the IRA. Is there an appetite in Congress for an IRA 2? I know the first one was just signed yesterday, but is that something that you expect to see in the next session?
Sadly, I don't think there's an appetite for that right now. And obviously, we want to give some time to see how this works. It's also important to note that this bill was paid for by closing loopholes so that billionaire corporations, you know, finally pay their minimum share of income tax. It's not going to raise taxes on the average American family, but it is going to close a lot of loopholes. We want to make sure that that all works. So I think it's reasonable to give time for this bill to succeed, for it to start having an impact on the economy. No piece of legislation is perfect. Let's see what works, what could be improved. And then we'll talk about further climate and investment opportunities in the future.
How do you measure success in the short run with this?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it would be helpful if the Biden administration set out some benchmarks where we can see this happening. I want to see that these tax loopholes are actually closed. It's frustrating that my family pays more in federal taxes than some of the largest corporations in the world today. I want to see that changed. I also want to see the result of these climate investments. Let's see if they lead to meaningful reductions in carbon. Maybe it will be even more successful than planned, or maybe it won't live quite up to our expectations. Either way, we need to have some benchmarks to see the success of this legislation so that we can improve it down the road.
Mm-hmm. Democrats did have to compromise, though, in order to secure support from fellow Democrat Joe Manchin from West Virginia. There were incentives and subsidies added around fossil fuels, which will likely lead to new pipelines and more drilling for oil and gas. What do you say to those who are concerned the party sacrificed too much to get this compromise?
This is the reality of politics today, is that it requires compromise. It's always required compromise in our system, and that's why no piece of legislation is ever perfect. But there's no question that this moves the ball forward significantly. And I agree. I didn't want to see subsidies for oil and gas, although there are some places the Northeast being one of them, where more pipeline infrastructure would actually help reduce energy costs in the short term and could be used in the future for carbon-free sources like hydrogen. So it's not all bad, but we did have to make some compromises to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Often they say, you don't want perfect to be the enemy of the good. Is this a fine example of the good being good enough for right now?
I think it's not only good enough for right now, it's an important step forward for the future. Let's not underestimate the impact of the first major piece of climate legislation that the Congress has passed in a long time, and the first real investment in the green economy that we've made. So it's not just good, but you're right. The perfect can't be the enemy of the good. It's an appropriate time for that phrase. But I'm excited about this. I'm optimistic. And although there's still much work to be done and many things I would have liked to see included that were not, it's a huge positive step in the right direction. It's an investment in our future. It will improve the lives of everyday Americans. And you know what? That's why it's so popular around the country. A lot of Republicans don't really know how to respond to this because they see the Democrats actually getting things done rather than just complaining about what Disney is doing or spouting some new conspiracy theory, which seems to be what the Republican Party is focused on these days.
Do you expect to see some of your Republican colleagues out in their districts touting the benefits of this? Because there's going to be stuff from this bill that's going to affect folks in those districts. Do you think the Republicans will be out there taking credit for it?
I mean, that might have sounded like a crazy question 5 or 10 years ago, but it's not a crazy question now. It's a good question because, in fact, that's what Republicans did all across the country after we passed the bipartisan infrastructure law. They touted the benefits even when very few of them voted for it. So, yes, I expect that to happen again. Hypocrisy never seems to get in the way of a good story for Republican lawmakers.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. Congressman, I want to check back in on an initiative that I know that you have long been passionate about, mental health. You were on the show about a month ago to talk about the launch of 988, a new mental health crisis hotline. At the time, there was some concern over the rollout and whether the states were ready. How's it gone so far?
Oh, it's gone incredibly well. And we knew that the rollout wouldn't be perfect, but it's about as close to perfect as you can get. We saw a 45% increase in national call volume between the transition week when the new hotline was brought online and the previous week. So that means over 96,000 calls, texts, and chats to this lifeline for people who are in need, you know, who need a helping hand in that moment of crisis. Over 45,000 Americans die every year by suicide, every one of them alone, and most because they just don't know who to reach out to in that critical moment. 988 is saving lives already.
Do you think we're moving towards getting away from the stigma of mental health?
We are absolutely making progress. I mean, when I shared my own story of dealing with post-traumatic stress after four tours in the Marine infantry in Iraq, I thought it might end my political career. And that was just a few years ago. But now it's really launched me on this crusade to help improve mental health care across America. And the fact that I was able to talk about this and it hasn't been used against me to attack me politically is just one example really close to home for me of how we are changing the stigma about mental health. But don't get me wrong, we've got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were to tell you that I was going to get my annual physical right after this interview, no one would bat an eye. No one would say, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Are you okay, Seth? No, of course I'm fine. You just go to get your annual checkup regardless of whether anything's wrong. Now think about how different your thoughts might be if I said, I've got a mental health appointment right after this interview. You'd probably think, my gosh, is everything okay? Are you doing all right? Sure. We're a long way away from getting to the point where a mental health checkup is as routine as an annual physical. But that's where I want to be. That's where I want to bring this country. That's when we'll know that we really take care of our mental health, because it will make us a stronger country, a stronger nation. It will save a lot of lives. And we'll all be better. We'll be better at our jobs, at our whether it's being a dad or being a congressman or being a construction worker, whatever it is, you're going to be better at your job if you are in a good state of mind. Just like you know that if you work out, if you go to the gym, if you eat healthfully, you're going to be in better shape. Mm-hmm. So we need to get to that same point with mental health where we're not afraid to talk about it and we proactively work to improve it.
Sure. There's been some pushback to the new 988 hotline across social media, with some posts warning folks not to call the number, expressing concerns over police involvement, involuntary treatment at emergency rooms or psychiatric hospitals, and the potential costs of those experiences, both financially and emotionally. What's your reaction to that pushback?
I mean, frankly, I think it's shameful because if you're discouraging people from getting help in a time of need, then you're not saving lives. You're doing the exact opposite. You're endangering lives. The truth is that only 1%, one out of every 100 calls to the Lifeline has police sent to a house because someone is in imminent danger because they can't come up with an alternative. And the caller doesn't want that help. So this is an incredibly rare occurrence. It's only when your life or the life of someone else is in imminent danger and they don't have a less invasive plan that can be worked out on the phone. The reality is that 99 out of 100 calls just address what the caller needs. They provide professional help in that moment of crisis to walk you back from the edge and get you the long-term assistance that you need. So look, no good deed goes unpunished. That's another good phrase that we can keep in mind. And there will always be critics. But make sure you're encouraging people to use 988, not the other way around, because it's saving lives every single day. I had my 1.5-year-old in the doctor's office yesterday for her checkup. And I was so thrilled to see 988 being advertised right there in the Salem doctor's office because people know that this is important and we've got to get out the word. And the more people who know about 988, the more people who have a conversation with their friends and loved ones about using that service if there's a crisis, the more lives we'll continue to save.
Will people get the same support after calling 988? In, say, if they live in Boston versus, you know, a small town in Western Mass that might not have, you know, they might, the police might be the only ones that could respond to something like that. Is it pretty much equal across the board?
Great question. Yes, it is, because the system that we have set up and why it took some time to actually establish this is a system where your call will go first to a local call center, like the Samaritans run call centers in Boston, for example. But if that call center is full, you'll get diverted to another call center somewhere else in the country that has an opening, because we want to make sure that every call gets answered. So just like when we established 911, we didn't want to have any holes in the system. We wanted to make sure that no matter where you called 911, you were going to reach someone who can help. We've established the same system for 988.
Let's shift gears a little bit, so to speak. The thing on a lot of folks' minds right now is public transit, specifically the MBTA and the commuter rail. We know that the Federal Transit Administration has been looking into the T, and Governor Baker said just last week that essentially it's up to the MBTA to prove that a federal takeover is not the right way to go. Do you believe that the FTA should take over the T operations?
We need to do something drastic. I mean, the fact that we are shutting down entire transit lines right now due to overdue maintenance is absurd. I mean, think about how long the MBTA has been around. Think about how many decades of good service it's been able to provide. I don't think there's another time in our history when we've just had to shut down an entire line. I mean, when's the last time they just completely shut down I-93 or I-95 for a month because they hadn't done the required maintenance? This isn't rocket science.
Right.
Railways have been around for over 100 years, and we know how to repair them, and yet the T cannot get the job done.
Yeah, we need to do something drastic. Is that a yes?
Look, I don't know if the FTA is the right solution, but I know that we cannot continue business as usual. I don't have any confidence in the leadership and organization of the T right now, and I don't know why anyone else in Massachusetts should either. So perhaps a federal takeover is the best option. I think every option should be on the table. There's no question that we can't just patch it up and continue pretending that nothing is wrong. Again, this is a fundamental failure. If you drive a car and never, ever change the oil, guess what? At some point, you're going to need a new car. It's not going to be enough just to repair the old thing you got. You're going to have a need a brand new car. And that's where we are right now with the MBTA.
Okay. Congressman Seth Moulton, we got about another minute or so to go with you. One last question on a different topic. I know one that hits home for you. You are a former active duty U.S. Marine who served four tours in Iraq. Last year on August 15th, Kabul fell in Afghanistan. The U.S. completed its withdrawal from Afghanistan by the end of the month. We talked to you then. You were highly critical of the administration's handling of the withdrawal. 1 year later, how are you thinking about that now?
Sadly, things have only gotten worse for the Afghans that we left behind, because we did leave a lot of Afghans behind, allies who trusted us with their lives because they put their lives on the line, not just for their country, but for ours. Our troops made them a promise that we get them out. And thousands of them are still left in the country. Mm-hmm. So it's a sad day. It's a sad anniversary. And it's a reminder that we still have a lot to do to keep our promises.
Okay, thank you very much. U.S. Congressman Seth Moulton, we'll check back with you, I'm sure, soon from the Massachusetts 6th District. Congressman Moulton, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.